Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and we are live in studio today. I have to turn the gains down because I am jazzed for this one. Lifelong learners and buddies of theory and practice, truly putting it together. These are both buddies of mine back in the college days and friends of a friend's all coming together of putting these connections together. We're in studio here in Denver. And the main message from the 300,000-foot view of all the conversations leading into this has been, how do we do AI? And there is no one thing on how to do AI, but the main message is that every company at every size is being disrupted by AI. And that's why I want to have this conversation, because let's face it, we're the disruptors here on the Art of Construction Master Facilitators community, not the MFers you think of construction, the master facilitators to build better buildings. And we have to use these tools, right? And so how this is going to benefit you is that the ones that are opting out, this was the key thing that Sean said, basically the ones that are opting out of this are going to be left behind. And these current small businesses that don't have capacity can use AI to augment this. So it really is this crazy David and Goliath moment of putting all this stuff together to figure it out. So without further ado, we're live in studio. We're going to ask Brian and then Sean. They're going to share their story. So let's lock and load, speed round. Here we go. Brian, what's your favorite beverage?
IPAs for me.
All right. Yeah. What's one that comes to mind?
We lived in Telluride for a while, so they've got a great IPA at the Telluride Brewing company there that I love. And then also I would say just sparkling water or a big sparkling water family.
Sweet. So Brian Watson, we're going to hear his story of he's been on the podcast before and threads coming together. But first, let's get to know a little bit about his background. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Favorite place I've traveled, probably Rome. Just a beautiful city. All the architecture there is amazing. You just walk around and you're looking everywhere in every direction and just complete awe of what they built back then. So that's my favorite city.
Cool. Give us one story from being in Rome.
I think just going to the Vatican with my wife and walking through the museum that they have there is just incredible. There's a lot more like Egyptian art and history there than we thought that we would see. So, we were there on our honeymoon and just had a wonderful trip.
And what is your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction silos we're going to talk about breaking down of automating workflows today with AR that we passionately call the art of construction?
Favorite hobbies are probably listening to books. I'm always listening to different books, or skiing is a big hobby of ours too.
There we go. All right. Brian Watson, we'll talk more about you next when we unpack all this. But Mr. Kircher, I think back, here we are on the mic together. I think back, I got to start by a story of like how we were all in awe in college, and I'll let you kind of share it in your overall story. But when you, the three redheaded triplets were on Christmas break of their commercial, I was like, what a cool story, to where I'm sitting there looking face, eyeball to eyeball with Sean Kircher. Behind him is when I was on the TV show Pros versus Joes. And in those stories and those threads coming together, at the end of the day, we're all trying to figure out how to fake it till we make it. But boy, we've had as much fun as possible over the years that we're going to unpack today. Mr. Sean Kircher, what is your favorite beverage?
I'd have to say a chili beer. I like spicy beer. One that comes to mind is a Blue Spruce out in Lone Tree. Very good.
So you're the guy that I have like half one of those, and I like the taste. I'm like, who's going to drink a bunch of these? But I guess you're the guy.
I'm the only one.
Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Let's see, I would have to say London. London is one of my favorites. Yeah.
Give us one story from that.
I do fit in. There's a lot of Irish redheads around there. So, it's kind of like, I just love walking around, and the food is amazing. I remember when we first went there, it was, we got there and it was like a parking lot spot where a car could fit was our room. So it was different, but it was pretty cool.
It was funny. I randomly was in New York and through the world of social media, Joey, one of the other triplets, was in New York and he's like, "Hey, I got a room, come stay here." And he was like that same thing. And we were all together in this postage stamp room, like having as much fun as possible, as we always do. Tell us about what you like to do, your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction styles we're going to talk about breaking down through AI that we passionately call.
Yeah, I've got a lot of hobbies. I big golfer during the summers and a big skier in the winters.
Sweet. So, Brian, what is your story as a serial entrepreneur like me, that every time I hear what Brian's up to, it's another amazing different venture of connecting people like you've always done since day one I met you? What is your story that led you being the co-founder at hummingagent.ai?
Yeah, so we, I think you and I met, we had our podcast about the co-working space. And at that time I had moved back to Grand Junction, which is a town I grew up in. And there was not a lot of kind of entrepreneurial activity. And so we started doing events for entrepreneurs and then grew a big community of entrepreneurs that turned into co-working spaces. We built a software to manage them. And then I stepped away from that company and my wife and I bought 7 co-working spaces that we fully automated. And so I got to kind of see firsthand just the power of automation and what it does, especially for small businesses that have limited resources, how they could really increase their capacity and do more with small amounts of resources. And so I moved to Denver a couple years ago and met up with Sean and Kelly and Joey and connected. And we were talking about AI and how it's transforming every business and every industry. And that's really how we got started.
I love that. And how you met up a couple years ago, but yet you and I met up a generation ago when I was like, "Hey, I'm going to do this co-working place." And I was like, "I need people that can help me put that together." So if nothing else, thank you for all the work you've done helping me with that, to where that's still own and operate that Junction station. Shout out to the Junction and Grand Junction, where you helped get that going. We use the proximity software. You can go back and listen to that podcast where we talked about the proximity space and the proximity software of figuring out how do you begin with the end in mind with all these different startups. And it was like one of those stories that I challenge people, if they're interested in co-working, go back and looking that of how much has changed in 10 years, but how much has stayed exactly the same too. But at the end of the day, words matter as you're compiling this data that we're going to unpack and figuring out process to get people to be in the right place and have as much fun as possible. So Brian, what a cool story how you connected through the Kirchers, and then now we're here on the podcast sharing the story together. So Mr. Sean Kircher, one of the 3 triplets that were all buddies of mine, what is your stories that led you to the co-founder and CTO at hummingagent.ai?
Yeah, so I was at Comcast Labs for about 13 years. We were like a small little team in a Fortune 50 company where we looked at all sorts of different technologies and was looking at I think the biggest thing was really finding like really hard business problems, and we were the team to figure out how to solve that with a technology. And then I left Comcast for another startup, and after that didn't go well. The startup kind of went downhill, and then I did some consulting, met Brian, and really see the future. You know, AI has been a buzzword ever since I probably started working, but now you can feel this technology is actually, it's something real. It's like, you know, back, you know, when the internet started, you know, you had all these companies that had valuations where they didn't have any products. But you got these companies now that actually are using AI in products or changing people's workflows or saving money, saving time, saving people. They don't sleep, right? 24/7, these agents can work night and weekends. So seeing that, just the ability of these, you know, old school companies, new companies can leverage AI in all different ways. And I have a passion of an automation background, and kind of excited for the future.
Awesome. So taking all kinds of lessons learned from figuring out how to orchestrate a network together on the rugby field together of one of my favorite things is I played fly half and the Kircher boys would all come out together and it was like you'd when you're teaching how to get someone you're supposed to match up and you'd be like, I got the person that looks like that. And the three redheaded triplets came out there and it just threw everything off. That's kind of what we're doing now of like, you don't know what you don't know, and boy, you can be jaded by what you think you know. And that's what we're going to unpack here today of figuring out theory and practice of, I think we're in a cool spot that the three of us have, we're not brand new to business. We've done this in the real world for a while, but we're also trying to, like, you talked about the internet. Like, we migrated through analog to the digital age. We're the living both sides of it. Now we've lived through that. We're the ones to lead this next digital first way. And I really think this is that internet 3.0, all those type of buzzwords we're hearing out there, that these AI agents do a much better job of compiling that. So I'm going to stop talking and say, this podcast is for the builders and affiliates in construction. And the first 100 episodes, they said contractors and architects. And if you're simply just a contractor, you're dead with the AI agents because you're just pushing paper around. And that's an old school word that doesn't work. That's why we settled on builders, the people actually doing the work. And architects is kind of a word that is a legacy word. And so we settled on affiliates. So it's people like Sean that were at Comcast being in this think tank that got this tribal knowledge. Brian, who built an enterprise around people collaborating, me being one of those, to figure out how to build better buildings. How does Humming Agent AI fit into that? Sean and then Brian.
So, yeah, Humming Agent really, you know, we really look at, you know, the whole of a company and we look at what are your pain points. And, you know, if it's, you know, you're getting PDFs or you're doing a manual step, right? And I think trying to figure out, I think we really have conversations with real business owners. What are their pain points? And is it time? Is it money? Is it process? Is it people? And so when we go down, we sit down, we really kind of learn, transcribe the whole call, put it in AI, and we really kind of figure out like what are, with all the tools that we have available, how can we help fix or create something that will really streamline the flow and the process. So Humming Agent comes in, we've got products of voice, text, chatbots with AI knowledge base where they can be your secretary. Even if it's, you have a secretary, it's nights and weekends, you can get calls. We've got a private ChatGPT where it's fully siloed into a cloud. So that means like any of your coworkers or employees, you do not want to have that data being sent and trained into a model. So we have these private ChatGPTs that look like they look like private ChatGPT, Claude, same interface, but totally contained and siloed. And then our third is our service, is our AI agentic workflows. And these are automation. It's not fully, sometimes a lot of these projects are, let's just see what we can do. What can we automate? Right. And then we can bolt on top and kind of build it up on what AI thing is. End of the day, you can't be AI. You can't create AI on every single workflow, right? So you've got to pick and choose. But AI agentic workflows, adding agents, knowledge, it's self-healing. It's able to create. You don't need to watch it and monitor it during times. It will self heal and figure out really hard problems. So
yeah. So I always say, AI is new. the volume of products and services out there is just growing exponentially. And so a lot of people are trying to figure out how to manage their AI or how to implement it within their company. And so our clients are coming to us because we are a full service agency. And so even if they're working with an IT professional or that they have a local IT team that they work with, there's still a lot of unknowns for them on what tools should we use or how should we integrate these different solutions? How do we deal with data privacy, right? And so they can really come to us as their trusted partner to help navigate through all of those situations. And then with Humming Agent AI, we'll help automate either your business, a department within your business, a role within your business, or figure out a workflow that you're doing. So we're working with a couple of small businesses and they've come to us. They wanted to sell their business, but had a non-transferable company because everything was done manually. We worked with them to understand what technology are you using, what data are you using, what is the outcomes that you want, and then we can build a full service solution for them that basically allows them to automate their whole business and then hand that off to the next generation. We have departments where we've had a team come in and say, we want, you know, where we have all these offshore support people and, you know, that team keeps growing. And so we could go in and actually automate the whole support department of that company using AI. So you call in, an AI assistant understands who you are because it's plugged into their database, addresses you by name, troubleshoots the issue that you're dealing with, closes the ticket or escalates it to tier two support if it needs to. So we can automate that entire department or roles like the front desk person or a salesperson ingesting inbound calls, trying to figure out what do you want? Here's the products, here's the services that we offer. It can log all of that and put it into your CRM system. And so again, we work with partners, we work with customers to get a holistic view of their entire company, understand what data they have, understand what tools and systems they're already using. So a lot of companies are already using technology, whether that's HubSpot or Salesforce or fill in the blank. Those systems are still good because they keep record of all of your data. But if those systems aren't talking with one another, then you have a gap or humans have to manually move information from your form into your database. Where we can work with you, figure out all of those different components, and then build agents or AI solutions that weave all of those things together.
I love that. So now we want to get into the kind of tangible stuff. Like, you guys did a great job of like giving an overarching of like, and I think I raised my hand, a lot of people probably listening right now is like, okay, I hear, I got to do something, but I'm overwhelmed. Like, what are next steps, right? And we have to go back to kind of our beginning as digital immigrants. I think about the time in us in college, in all of our notebooks of trying to go into tools of a pen that's a reusable notebook that goes into some kind of thing that you could find it to everybody trying to find an edge. If you really want to find an edge, like this is that edge. But Sean, I love how you said, we sit down and talk with the people first and say like, have you ever done any of this stuff? Have you done a lot of it? And then there's these different buckets that you have to look at. Number one is you got to know how to own your data. Like, that's step one, whether you're a solopreneur or the biggest company in the world, because right now it's this, are we feeding the engine for others or feeding for yourself? And that's all back to managing your data. So you have to know a little bit about that, right? And then I look at it as me, I guess I'll call myself out and use me a little bit as a case study on this next conversation to say, newsletters. Well, we all did them and then got burnt out of like what kind of Zapier and no one looks at it. And then a marketing agency says you just got to do 10 times more of that. And then it was just more, 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 and nothing ever happened from that kind of. Now it's like scrubbing that to where quickly, and it's just information overload, right? But I think the key thing that Brian talked about is you didn't know how to put that stuff together. And in the past, it took so much time for me as a business owner to get my CFO to speak with my GM, to my project manager, to my marketing person to say that newsletter, how does it tie into a P&L report? And here's a little surprise for people that might not know. Nobody effing knows. It's all bullshit. And there's all these people in the past as AI digital immigrants now coming into this world. There's these new kids in the candy store that are pulling all this stuff together. But here's another secret for you. They're kids that have not lived and know how to do the business. So I'm looking eyeball to eyeball with the guys around me that we've lived this enough to look at and say, my gut doesn't say this is right. And that's what us humans have to be able to take that data and move it around in a different way. And that's really the next race, right? Like, I think of like the next version of Bitcoin or some different currencies and different ways you get monetizing this stuff. What's your guys' take to that? Sean and then Brian.
That's interesting. Just thinking of just this AI front. I mean, I feel like we are just at the beginning of
AI. Which I appreciate you saying that because like it was hard to do this podcast because it's like, well, we should have it figured out. But the people that have spent the time, have a business and running and helping other businesses with this stuff, Tribe, if there's anything you hear on this conversation is we're just getting going. It's not that you should know what AI is. Nobody actually knows what it is. We're building it. The blocks are getting built right now.
You know,
right?
we started Humming Agent in January, and I think that was the hardest thing for us to get started is people don't like, okay, what do we do, right? AI, that's great. How is that going to help me, right? So I think education and being on podcasts like you guys, just to educate, like, what can AI do? And So I think you just saying something about it could be the next digital currency. I mean, that's an interesting thought. I think where we were in 11 months, even like last month, every week there's an AI something coming out. Right, there's a new model coming out, a new tool on how we can help, especially in our whole company runs. Like, if you're not using AI, then why aren't you, right? Yeah. And so I think because we're such a small team, we have to run fast. We have a small budget, right? So I think anything we do, we've got to be AI first.
Yeah, we're incorporating AI into every portion of our business, whether that's marketing and, website creation and building newsletters, building blogs, building products using AI first tools versus the ways that you used to be able to do it. And what adopting these new AI solutions allows us to do is build things that we could build like 10 times faster. You could build like so fast. It's incredible. Build at scale. So you can, with websites, we can build a website and then clone it, infinite numbers of times to be in different, showing up in different cities. So we can just incorporate it in a lot of different ways in really every aspect of our business. But I think kind of coming back to what you were saying is what's most important is knowing how the AI can be leveraged and knowing the assets that your company has and how you can leverage that. So I think, we talked about earlier, we will sit on a call and do kind of an initial onboarding call with a client. And, they may have assets within their company, data within their company that they're not leveraging, right? So we were talking to a client today and she has, a bunch of different vendors that she works with, and all the vendors that she works with are legacy. So they're all using paper. She has spreadsheets of information about them, but she's like, I have all these vendors that I don't have any digital information on. And we're like, oh, well, do they provide you a book with all the information in it? Those books are images. Those images can be uploaded. The data within their, product catalog can be ingested and then leveraged with the AI tool. So that allows her to go into like a search GPT product and say, hey, I have a client that needs this. And then it can look at all the vendors that she has. And we've ingested all this information. It's just from the product catalogs that they send her. And so, again, I think
let's stop there. And this is where I want to be the disruptor of saying, that's great, but if she just does that on her own and jumps into ChatGPT and takes and scans all that in, does that all that into an open forum, she may be losing her own secret sauce downstream that she doesn't even know what she's doing. So this is that start of this next phase. It's kind of like back when AOL, and I'm dating myself, of like knowing what it meant to have an email address to now like teaching my daughter that getting her up first Apple Watch to teach her how to use that tool, we're in the same thing of trying to use that in our businesses, right? So there's this whole like up and downstream handoff. And so this podcast is for builders and its affiliates and construction, right? And so I'm closing in on my 400th episode of the conversation that we're going to get to these closing questions that when it gets down to technology, it's amazing how people answer this question that we'll ask at the end. But the part that blows my mind is it all boils down to connecting the overall construction network that was impossible to do until the computational power has now come together, because it was all this siloed information of, you talk about a client you're talking about today of getting all this disparate systems that don't speak to make it work for her business. So it's this whole spider effect that goes out and then you make it your own. It goes out and then construction, it was impossible to put that together in the past. And that's what this AI tools can do. But the next wave is to figure out how you can be the one on top of managing that data, especially if you're in the gooey middle like me, where I own a window distribution company. I'm in the same boat of all these different manufacturers that our biggest the biggest name in the industry just released the other day. It's been 15 years for them to get a whole new manufacturing plant of equipment. And that last week they announced they sued the company because they never even made the equipment. And this is a $5 billion company that we've been waiting for 15 years for this information to be as good as the competitor. And then you get that information. Once now that hit the internet, now it's public information. It's going to be a massive spider web effect. And that's what we're all trying to figure out, is when is news real and when does it hit the mainstream stuff versus your own data to have that leverage effect that... Your gal is right, but now is it's never been more important to surround yourself around a network of people that you know, like, and trust, because it's back to us taking that tribal knowledge and moving it forward. But I don't think we can stress it enough of figuring out, understand, even like just what's the parameters of if you're using Microsoft to go to pay for the Copilot to do it in your own domain, there's a lot of fine print of what people don't know what they're reading of. Is this only in your domain or is it being shared? Where is it being shared? There's a lot of wild, wild west on that stuff. What's your guys' take to that?
Yeah, I think we've been waiting for Copilot, I think, for years, you know, when they kind of, you know, put a stake into OpenAI, right? And so, you know, we've been using, and we've had an innovation team on trying to figure out, like, how well it works. That's why we kind of built our own. So we've got a private ChatGPT that you own your own data. All we have is these models that live inside of like Azure or AWS. You pull it from like OpenAI, or you pull it from like, you know, with Claude. But, you know, that's the problem. It's like all these like terms of service. You don't know what, like, where, you know, once you press click, it's like that data could be shared, right? So we really ensure to make sure that our data does not go out, and it's totally secure.
Yeah, I mean, all the conferences that I've been to this year and all the stuff I hear back is it's all about like knowing how to own your data is the new buzzword, and then figuring out security that your team and the people that you want to use it are just frustrated by it, because what they're doing right now, they just log in once and they do everything in Microsoft and they don't want to do two-step verification, let alone going to another server, let alone all this other stuff. Right. So we have to figure out as business owners and leaders how to make it easy for the team to manipulate the data within that. That's a key horizon we got to figure out. And if you're a one-man band, it's easy to figure that out. But that's not what this podcast is for. This is to scale up and be able to leverage that. So those are the kind of conversations that we need to have downstream. But on the pre-interviews, when we were having these conversations, I raised my hand and say, I didn't really, the term that you kept using was AI agentic workflows. And I had never heard that term personally. So as I'm brand new to speaking the language of AI, can you unpack that a little bit for us?
With agentic workflows, basically, as we were talking about before, we'll do an assessment. So, you know, what we'd figure out is, you know, what are you wanting to do? So maybe an example is someone calls in we want to collect information from them on what the deal is or why they're calling in, right? So it's a new client. We want to capture that information. And then maybe we have employees today that take that information and they log it into our CRM system. And then we have to follow up because, you know, they provided us insufficient information, or we want to follow up and schedule a follow-up meeting with them, or, you know, what does that workflow look like, right? And today, or kind of in the past, how that was being done was a combination of technology, maybe it's a form they fill out on your website, and manual labor. Someone gets the information from that form, and then they transfer it into your CRM system, and then they follow up with them to book an appointment, right? And so this is the challenge of every small business, right? Is we have limited resources. We only have a couple of employees as the entrepreneur or the owners of these businesses. You're doing your job. You're taking the phone calls. You're doing every other job, right? And so we have limited capacity. What an agentic workflow does is we can look at that whole process, and then we can keep those systems tied together, but then we can build AI solutions that orchestrate the process from beginning all the way to end. So if someone fills out a form on your website, we can have a agentic workflow that automatically pushes that into your CRM system. Then maybe you build the report with the information that you've taken, or you need to follow up and book a follow-up meeting with that person based upon the form that they filled out. All of that can be completely automated using AI. And so that's the agentic workflow, is we can say, what is being done now? What technologies, in addition to what humans are, you know, integrating and keeping that workflow moving? And then we can kind of start from first principles and say, we're going to build a whole solution that does that entire process automated.
Yeah, and here's the part where building a business, nothing happens till you sell something. So you build this business of all this work on the CRM side, and then there's this historical garbage of all these CRMs that don't go anywhere. And the key thing is figuring out, okay, which leads turn into the best customers. And I call it the customer journey. So the AI agentic workflow to me is more of like a technical term, if I'm learning from you guys right, to say this is like from the IT perspective, this is what AI does, is it's going to say, well, yeah, you're saying today you want this lead to do that. But 3 years from now, when you're sitting there and looking at why the hell didn't we make any money, you're going to go back and be like, well, we didn't get the right leads at the front. And you have to match that stuff up. Of we always talk about beginning with the end in mind, but it's this ever cycle of the hamster wheel that you have to learn how to play the great game of business. And then people come and go with these ideas. At the end of the day, you have to have process over people on a lot of this stuff. And this process with AI helps with that. Am I in line with that?
Exactly. And so I think there's a couple other things that are really important to think about your workflows is you need consistency, right? So maybe the workflow is you receive the phone call when someone calls in. But if you're wearing 10 hats, you don't always receive the phone call. So then that manual workflow is broken, right? Or the thing that I think about is when my wife and I automated all those co-working spaces, we took the sign-up process and built a workflow there that was automated. So instead of having people meet you at the front door...
Wait, it was cheaper to have zero people than 10 people?
Yeah, exactly. It saved us money.
Oh, and by the way, those 10 people would change in training them and moving that. And I think we just... Like, I got to raise my hand. My own company's like, we are a commitment to excellence. We're going to answer the phone all the time. And the reality is that's impossible. And so you have to get out of your own way and say, how do we make a workflow of removing the people, even though the people is what make us special, and put that together?
Well, and the thing that you mentioned also is, again, if we're training people, people come and go. So then you have to train a new person or whatever. If you can build an automated system within your business that does the same thing 100% of the time, captures 100% of the leads, and does that, then you can continue to tweak that and enhance how the system operates over time as well. And so that's, I think, another superpower of small businesses where we didn't have these capabilities in the past is you can say, this is an area of my business that we need to improve or we need to be 100% effective on. And as long as humans are in the loop there, you're never going to get it to 100%. But if you can build a streamlined system within your business that is built from end to end, then you can not only watch how it's working, but you can continue to tweak and manipulate and improve and enhance that system better and better and better over time.
I love that. So as we work towards our closeout questions, Sean and then Brian, what advice would you give to the people that, especially in construction, they're resistant to change? Because construction is one of those fields that I think is so ripe for this conversation, because the intellectual property is getting put out there. You don't even know how or why, and figuring this out. And the computational power is strong enough to put this stuff together that you can go back and look at hundreds of podcasts I've done on this over the years to really understand why is construction lagging so much of other industries? Well, you got to understand construction, and that's not a one podcast conversation. It's many, right? But what advice would you give to people listening to this that are just like, oh, AI, whatever, I'm just going to keep building buildings the way I've been doing it? Sean and Brian, what would you tell people to help them who are resistant to change?
When I say if you're resistant to change, especially in AI, I feel like your competitor will use it, and then they can bring costs down. They'll make more efficient. I think there's different ways to look at it. I think you look into your business. It's like what can you do to save money and save time for your employees. And I think using AI, you really get a superpower. I think if you're really hesitant and resistant of using AI, I think give it a try and see what it can do and what it can improve.
You know, I understand people being skeptical and being resistant to change. I would say start small and, you know, don't try to boil the ocean in one go, right? I would say, you know, work with professionals that really understand the technology. If that's not your cup of tea, that's totally okay. That's, you know, part of the thing that makes businesses great is working with partners that can also help elevate them. And so I'd say find professionals to help you in those orchestrations or identifying areas that AI can impact your business, and leverage their skill set to help kind of level up your business. And then again, start small. You don't have to do it all at once. Start if you have an area in your business that keeps breaking or that you can't keep people, or where if maybe you're missing out on opportunities because you can't answer the phone every time. You know, start in small areas of your business and test it there. And then you can see, you're not only going to see the impact of AI implementation within your company, but it's also going to give you confidence and better understanding of how to actually leverage it in your company. So those are the things. Use kind of trusted people and start small, and then you can kind of expand from there.
Yeah, and what I would add to that is, like, you have to find champions. Like I'm a technology champion for my company, but I'm also the owner. So I strategically put little projects for agents, for other people, like super low-hanging fruit, like things that are like, how should we change up our company events and using that to help with that? How to use outside stuff to have think people to psychology and different things that you struggle to have time to do that stuff. It's paid off dividends of just ideas and way to empower our team. And once I got a person, Becky, shout out to Becky Hogstead, our operations director, she got all excited about it and started talking to others. And now we're looking at it like, okay, how do we take the customer journey for business development to go out and pull all this fast track to develop these relationships? Power BI, that are all these other tools that people have kind of used with a bunch of challenging ways in the past. Boy, you get your data line and that stuff is just magical. So those are the type of things of the different quadrants of the business that are foundational that you need to do to put together is what I would say is go grab that low-hanging fruit we'll get to that next year. It's the things that are like nice to have but not need to have. Now you can do both because it helps you with that.
you know, there's a lot of people talking about that. It was like one of the new areas that people are seeing AI being used is there's a lot of tasks that we would love to do as business owners, but we just don't do it because it's not worth it to pay a person to do that. Maybe it's call every single one of our customers every week and tell them that you love them or something, right? So that would be a great to do, but it's going to be cost prohibitive to actually hire a person to do that. Some of those very small tasks now can be done with agents at scale. And
but be careful. Now you're seeing all this, the new spam is what is real is what is not, right? Like, you know, I'm doing a bunch of stuff of like in our world of like architectural renderings and stuff. Like it, for a while there was, you know, my buddy Bill Allen who just sold out with Evolve Labs built really cool engines, and those cool engines now the big Trimbles of the world are either buying them or squashing them, and that's what's been happening for a long time. But now that stuff is like, whoo, the leverage effect of just getting conceptuals downstream. You can just put that in there, and that's where architects, beginning with the end in mind, have to think way differently of like, where's the value of that? You have to really get the person back into the front of that and leverage those tools. So the question I always ask as we've been putting this together and our builders and affiliates listening to this out there, you know, we say this podcast is specifically designed for builders and affiliates to connect the right construction technologies and products to the right handshakes. And I think that sentence, I've been in meetings the last few months and people are like, Devin, we're not using that virtual walkthrough anymore. And I'm like, well, now it's just a whole different way a virtual walkthrough gets done, right? And I said, well, sometimes you have to be an early adopter to learn how the stuff puts together. Or the sentence that I've been saying now since 2014, that sentence, now people are like, oh, this stuff maybe can be used, right? So my big call to action is use it. But Sean and then Brian, what is your crystal ball for the future with technology and construction?
You know, I think my whole life and what we've been developing is automation. So, you know, I don't have a background of technology and construction per se, but I can just see making, you know, business owners a lot more efficient, where it's getting leads or automating and creating quotes. I feel being more efficient, it'll just be the power to the owner to really scale.
Yeah. Similar. I think, you know, the companies that are embracing these new technologies are going to see transformation, especially if they're working with each individual employee within the company. There's going to be ways to adopt AI, and pair it with each, person in your company to level up that person. The capacity of each one of your employees today will go up, and then you will also be able to build automation in your business without having to hire new employees. And so, again, I think for those that are really embracing AI and thinking about how to incorporate it in their company, this is why it's such a disruptive force, especially for small businesses, which I think we love working with small businesses, because AI has the ability to transform and level up their business in a way that's never really been possible before.
Well, we'll make sure to put links in the show notes. You guys have done a great job of packaging this low-hanging fruit that we've been talking about on the podcast of getting the right agents to come in and help you. And Hummingbird AI is just that very thing that you guys are willing and able to do that. As we close this thing out, we always talk about the riches are in the niches, right? And where we are today on this conversation and this journey of the great game and life of business of, you know, we're all a little bit weary and woe-y of all where this thing's going to go. But just like the internet, it evolved, right? So we all have to continue to evolve and move this thing forward. Sean and then Brian, close us out here and leave us, our listening audience, what is that one thing you want to leave them with to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
Being the excitement of technology and what AI can do is like, I think, the most exciting. Automation, just automating your life, really. You could just sit back and have it fully automated. That's kind of we all would want that, right? But I think be excited about like the future with the technology. I mean, you see cars, self-driving cars. It's unbelievable, and I think it's just only going to get better and making our lives easier.
All right, close this out, Brian.
So I think the one takeaway is, you know, be curious about the technology, right? The biggest businesses in the world are fully embracing this technology, and they're investing billions of dollars, trillions of dollars, which will all trickle down to small businesses. And so they're investing in making the technology be able to be implemented in your company today. And so I would say be curious, reach out to someone who's doing it, whether that's Humming Agent or if you know another agency that's helping companies implement AI, embrace it. Or at least be curious about it and ask people how you can be integrating it into your company.
Awesome, guys. Thanks so much for coming and sharing your story.
Yeah. Thanks, Evan.
Thanks.